and thank you for joining me, New Moon Mom, on my podcast for parents, pagans, and everything in between. Join us as we talk about raising heathens and burning sage. Welcome back. Another exciting edition of New Moon Mom here for you. Oh man, this year, what a thing. Seems like we couldn't get it to get moving at all, and then all of a sudden we're racing towards the end. At least that's how I'm feeling. All this new information coming out about schools and what's going on in the world. It's a lot. But as we know, the year progresses, the wheel turns, and we move ever forward in time. So I want to take some time to actually stop and talk about the next wonderful holiday or Sabbath that we have coming up that I hope you're all able to celebrate as things are hopefully starting to get back to normal. And that would be Lammas or Lunisad or First Harvest. All these wonderful names that represent this great time of year as maybe a little sadly, summer's coming to an end, but all the hard work that we've put in before, all the time that we've spent cultivating and growing, either our actual harvest in our gardens or our emotional harvest, which might have been a little more daunting for some of us, that we're starting to see the fruits of those labors. I know that as I look out into my garden, I start to see my acorn squash is coming into bloom. My tomatoes are starting to look a little more ripe. My sage is just lovely. My lemon balm, however, is crazy, and I need to trim that whole thing back. But I digress. Lammas, as it's lovely known, is a great time that always happens around the 1st of August. And we always pick the 1st of August because it's the halfway point between the summer solstice and the autumn equinox. It's one of those cross-quarter days. It's one of the 4 points that helps to mark the transition between seasons. It really is, it might not feel like it, but it is the end of summer and the beginning of autumn. It's a weird time depending upon what climate you live in, because for me, where I am in the northern hemisphere, northeast of the United States, it's anything goes time. We could have 90 degree sweltering days, or we could have 70 to 60, or we could have it all that in one day. But regardless, it's a marking point for us in our tradition of the, as we said, the ever-changing wheel of the year. One of the main players for Lammas is the god Lau, or Lu. It's what the holiday is actually named after. Lunisad is it means the assembly of Lu. It's a gathering time for people to honor him and to revel in his festival. Now, what I found interesting was that his festival wasn't actually for him, but it was more for his mother or his stepmother, depending upon what mythos you're going with, Taltu, who died after clearing the fields of Ireland for agriculture. So that was like a very motherly thing to go out on to make sure that her children and generations after them would have the fields of Ireland for agriculture to grow, to harvest from, and to reap the rewards of her hard work. So to honor her, the god Lu dedicated a festival in her name. And in Ireland, we used to see the Taltu Games, or the Taltu Festival. And this festival was actually on par with the Roman Olympics, a lot of athletic competitiveness, competitions, things like that, that were kind of based on harvest time and harvest events like plowing, or if you think about the old Scotland Games, feats of strength, things like that. It was also a great time to bake the bread and use the first of your harvest to celebrate and feasting and really celebrating the idea of all the energy and the work that you had put in during the earlier parts of the summer and the early spring, and to celebrate it and get ready for this change of time. It was also a great time for matchmaking and hand fasting. Hand fasting was a huge part of the celebration, and there were actual Lunisad marriages that took place. And what made these marriages special was that they were a temporary contract between two people. They would be handfasted or married for a day and a year. And these were often performed by the poets or bards or the priests and priestesses of the time. It was not a church marriage. It was a marriage of agreement between two people for a year and a day to see if it was something that they wanted. And at the end of the year and a day, if they decided that it was no longer what they wanted, they would meet back to back and then walk away as a symbolic gesture that the marriage had been ended. Otherwise, they would stay together, and that would be their marriage. Much easier and straightforward than some people. The trial marriages were an interesting part because they died off, but we still have the hand fasting. We still have that as part of our culture, which is cool. The god Lu at this point, at this crossroads, cross-quarter day, is starting to lose some of his power, his solar energy. And we see that because from this day forward, starting August 1st, the days start to get a little shorter until we get to the autumn equinox when we have that balance of night and day. So starting from this point, the days start to kind of wean off. And we start to see Lu's power wane, but we also start to see the emergence of the Grain Mother and of the Harvest Queen, of this goddess figure who has given birth to her bounty, and that we are now reaping the rewards of. And that we sort of see this idea that even though things might be starting to come to an end, there is life in this harvest. And the life of the next harvest is held in the seeds that we gather from this harvest. So that I always thought was kind of a very poetic way of looking at this time of year, is that it's not really the end, it's the preparation for the next generation of harvest. So even though everything in this season is starting to die and come to its final resting place, its final purpose, it is also everything is starting to be reborn. So we're starting that planning for the next year. So that was kind of fun to unpack. So some things that we can always kind of look forward to, and that I always encourage people to do, is the changing of the altars. If you have a home altar, it's a great time to kind of clear it off, clean it up, and put offerings of wheat and grain. It's a great time. Like, lamas actually means loaf mass. The idea of baking bread is huge right now because we are harvesting grain, we are harvesting wheat, and all those things that we will make into bread to last throughout the coming cold months. So offers of wheat and grain, bread, sunflowers, solar energy related material is still really, really relevant at this time as we're honoring Lu. So calendulas are also great flowers to place upon your altar. They are huge solar energy and solar magic related plants. They also are great for psychic abilities and divinations and maybe seeing into what this next half of the year has to bring for us. We also have the idea of the corn dolls. So what was interesting was that in ancient times, the first corn stalk that was cut was very ceremoniously cut in the idea that it was going to be used as an offering to the gods and goddesses as a thank you, as this like, okay, we made it. This is great. We have food for the year. Thank you for this. Thank you for a bountiful harvest. Thank you for the wheat and the fields and all of this that will help us survive through the coming months. So it was ceremoniously harvested and baked or used in some sort of meal preparation to be offered to the gods. And the same thing with the last grain or the last corn stalk that was harvested. That was normally used to make an effigy or a corn doll of some sort to represent the gods and goddesses, again, as a thank you of look at all that we have, look at all that we've harvested. And again, giving thanks for that. So the idea of having the first corn stalk be used to offer to the gods as bread or cornmeal or something like that, and the last corn stalk used to create the effigy of what this was going to, like, who was getting the offering. I thought it was a very, very circular way of looking at the harvest. So that, you know, again, was very interesting and insightful for me to learn about. So for ideas for what to do with your kids, like I said, I think a great place to start is this idea of making bread, of harvesting some things from your garden that you can use to cook or bake with. So for us, like I said, the tomatoes, the acorn squash, I mean, you can make some really nice acorn squash muffins or bread, maybe some of your peas that came in, and just offer them up, you know, make a almost like a dumb supper, make an offering to the gods and goddesses as a thank you for what you're about to have for your harvest. Like I mentioned before, the corn dolls. Corn dolls are really fun to make. You take the corn leaves that have been dried, and then you wrap them into little dolls that you can either give to your children to play with, or you can use at your altar as a representation of the grain mother and the harvest queen. It's also a great time, and we'll do this with our kids, to collect seeds. So as you collect flowers, or if you're harvesting, take some of the seeds from what you're harvesting and prepare those for storage for the next spring. It's also a great time to make candles. So if you have access to beeswax or soy, if that's what you're using, I prefer beeswax just because I feel that it's a cleaner, more sustainable material to use for candle making, but whatever you can get your hands on, however it works for you, is great, especially now that maybe some local craft stores are starting to reopen and you might have access to things. I do encourage you to go to your local stores at these times. Amazon does not technically need your money so much as the local mom and pops might. So if you have a local craft store that you can visit, I highly recommend that. Grab some beeswax and maybe make some symbolic candles for this time of year. You can make them in the shape of corn. You can make them in the shape of the goddess. And use those in your rituals with your children and explain to them what that symbolism is and what it means and why you're doing it. It's always important to remember the why with kids. They'll remember that so much more than they will just making candles. Like, yeah, that was cool. I made candles with mom one day. But if you take the time to really explain to them what these candles are supposed to represent, like, okay, this candle represents our welcoming of the harvest queen and grain mother into our time of year and into our harvest in our life, then they're going to have that association a little deeper than most. It's also a great time to do maybe a home blessing. These cross-quarter days are a great time to really do a clean, a reset. As we're welcoming in a new season and we're welcoming in a new time, it's a great time to welcome in positivity, to welcome in health and wellness, to welcome in all the wonderful bountifulness that we want for the coming seasons. I mean, who doesn't want some health and wellness in their life right now? Who doesn't want to welcome in positivity? So maybe take some time to throw open your windows. I know for some of us it might be very muggy, but, you know, to do a saging, a cleansing of your home, wash everything, get ready for this next quarter. And then, you know, fun things you can do. You can stay up late late-ish, and toast to the sunset. Thank Lou for all that he's done. Give him thanks for the solar energy that we receive throughout the summer so that we can enjoy the bountifulness of this harvest. and just be open to the idea that this time is changing, that it might not be the most perfect time, but that we have had some good things happen. And summer's a great time to stop and reflect upon that. In August, we usually try and do at least one good camping trip to get into nature at this time. For me personally, the summer is just a little too hot to go camping. It's muggy nights are not my thing. But towards August, late August, we get more towards the fall weather. I really do love getting out into nature and embracing this sort of change that happens, this solar change, this harvest change that we all sort of feel within our bones and we have felt throughout most of our lives. I mean, I don't know one person who doesn't feel something at this time of year, whether it's remorse for the end of summer or excitement for the welcoming of fall. Maybe it's both. We are welcome and we are entitled to our emotions as humans, and as we progress through this wheel of the year, we feel many things. I know for me, pumpkin spice, all the things. Give me fall. Give me a welcome reprieve from humidity and mugginess. And just let me start to enjoy what is going on in the world right now. Well, in the earth. The world is another thing. So Lunasad, Lammas, First Harvest, all this great stuff. It's a lot going on at once. And, we symbolically, we have a lot of things that we can do. One thing that they used to do in olden days, I guess, olden Irish culture, is that they would take a carriage wheel, cover it in tar, light it on fire, and send it down a mountain, send it down a hill. And it would represent the waning of Lu's power. The sun god is starting to recede from us. And it's important that we give him the thanks that he brought for us. But it's also important that we acknowledge the coming of the next round, you know, like what's coming next? What's headed our way? We thank Lu, we send him out, and then we welcome winter. We welcome fall. We welcome the shadow half of the year. You know, we welcome the Holly King. And we get ready for that. We get ready for this shadow work that's about to come. But we also celebrate what we've had. And I think that that's one of the most important things that we can do, especially right now with our children and with our personal lives, is we can celebrate what is good. We can celebrate our harvest. And our harvest might not just be nutritionally based. It might not just be the substance, the physical substance that has carried us through the summer. But for many of us this year, it might be the emotional substance, the emotional connections that we have with people that we fostered, that we grew throughout this time, that we're giving thanks for those. That we're also giving thanks for the idea, you know, the thanks for our children's health, thanks for our personal health, our practice growth, things like that, that we're happy for those things, and that we're giving thanks. So, yay, give thanks. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that around this time of year, around the beginning of fall and all that, we start to see a resurgence of craft fairs. And I don't mean craft as in witch, I mean craft as in handmade. And it seems to be a really popular time where people are, again, kind of collecting all of their harvest, maybe of creativity, of all of that, and kind of giving it life, giving it a personification of these craft fairs, of these Renaissance fairs. They always seem to come up across the globe at this time. And I think that says a lot about the commonality that we all share that I don't know, I always get a bug up my butt this time of year that I need to like go craft all the things. I need to make something. So I start usually making salves and tinctures and balms and things like that. So if you're my friend and you're listening to this, get ready. You're gonna get bombarded with a lot of random stuff. So that was fun. We kind of talked about that. And then I guess the most important thing is like when you're celebrating this with your kids, allow them to express what they're thankful for. Really let them delve into the positivity of what's been going on with them right now. They might not have a lot to say, but the things that they are thankful for, I think it's important that they are able to communicate that so that they can see some sort of silver lining. Maybe you guys are all at the table talking, after you've made some bread together or something like that, and you talk about what you're thankful for this year. And it doesn't have to be, the whole dinner. It doesn't have to be everything all at once. It can just be, what was something good that happened to you this summer? What was something that you were happy that happened, So offer that up to them and see what they tell you. I am always surprised by my kids. They always tell me something that I never thought would be the most important thing. Like they might tell you that they're thankful for seeing the bunny the other day. It's like so simple, but so meaningful for them. So allow them to tell you what they're thankful for and what they've harvested this summer. So I think that's all I really have to say about Llamas or Lunasad. Athletic competitions, feasting, matchmaking, hand fasting, taaltu, trial marriages, all that fun stuff. Make sure that you're being honest with yourself about what you've harvested this year as well. We're about to go into the dark half of the year and really start to work on some of that shadow work might be popping up, and I think we're all going to have a lot of it this year. I think this year has been very trying for most of us, and that's okay. It's okay to have some internal shadow work that you feel creeping up on you. It's coming, and we're all going to work through it. So I guess what I would like to jump over to is our card of the episode. And I felt that at this time it was a really good opportunity to bring up this card because it does mean change. And that would be the Wheel of Fortune. And it's the 78th card in the tarot deck, and it's the 10th trump or major arcane card in most tarot decks. And I think I already talked about this, but I base mine on the Throne deck by Aleister Crowley. It's just one of the ones that I've constantly been drawn to throughout most of my life. So the Wheel of Fortune is it's just that, it's a Wheel of Fortune. It's kind of like a gamble. So a lot of it, a lot of the representation in the card is it represents the four elements of the major arcane. And then if it's upwards, it represents chance, changes, luck, winning, opportunity, destiny. If it's reversed, it can mean bad luck, disappointment, setbacks, misfortune, mishaps, things like that. So if it's face up, it means things are going to change in a positive manner. If it's face down, it means that things will probably change in a less than favorable manner. It is the ruling planet of it is Jupiter, and the element associated with it is fire. So as you go through your deck, I hope you're finding this insightful and meaningful for you, and that you keep learning your tarot cards, because the more familiar you are with them, the more meaning you'll get from your readings. And then I want to talk briefly about a book that I've been reading, which I actually got online for free at Abika, Abika.com. And it's called The 8 Sabbats of Witchcraft by Mike Nichols. And it's from like 1980 or 1988. And he basically just goes over the different Sabbats, the 8 Sabbats of Witchcraft. It's very straightforward. the title, and it tells you exactly what he is going to talk about, and he does not disappoint. It's a very good place to start if you're not familiar with the Sabbats. It goes over in order from Halloween, Samhain, Yule, Candlemas, Lady Day, May Day, Midsummer, Lammas, Harvest Home, and Death of Lule, the seasonal interrupt. So it's really cool. It's got some old school information in it, and it's for free on Abica, ABIKA.com. And if you want some nice, easy to read, it's probably, I don't know, how many pages is it? It's about 30, 32 pages. So nothing too heavy. It's a good resource to have on hand for all these different holidays and Sabbats as we go through them. So that's about it for me, kind of straightforward and fast paced. But I hope you learned something. I hope that it was insightful, or if nothing else, I hope it gave you a momentary break from your day and that you are able to enjoy the rest of it. All right, so until next time, I hope you guys have fun. And as I say to my kids before I send them out into the world, be awesome, be good, be kind. Bye.